the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr., and tonight we have a very special co-host. This is a fellow actor. I guess you could say we're aspiring actors, although we're not going to talk about acting tonight. We met at acting class in Orlando. I'd like to introduce to everybody Joe Fitzpatrick. Welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Jose. It's an honor to be here with you. I'm looking forward to this. So
cool. This is Joe's first podcast co-hosting, and I had wanted to do some different topics, and it's really kind of hard to talk by yourself. I mean, I could do it, trust me, but when you have somebody to bounce stuff off on, it's a lot easier. So that's why I'm having Joe on tonight, and I've had another guy on last week. So you know, if I can have some people on and we can talk about, because I can imagine people get tired of hearing about actors all the time, which Joe is an actor, and we're going to have him on at a later date talking about what he has done. And but tonight we're going to talk about hate. Yeah, it's a four-letter word, and sometimes I hate to say it, but there's a lot of hate in this world. What do you think, Joe?
I completely agree. I think there's more hate than what we need. And not that there's ever a need for hate, but it's just interesting as the world, or as I've gotten older, as I've grown up in this world, I'm 55 years old, is what I've seen change, and the amount of hate has just grown exponentially.
Exactly. Now, let me, I agree with you on that. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a definition. I didn't wear my glasses. This is from the Merriam-Webster. It's an intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or sense of injury, extreme dislike or disgust. And then there's other definitions. To feel extreme anxiety toward, to regard with active hostility, hate his country's enemies. So, you know, growing up, I can remember being chastised by my parents, and there was a few times that I said, oh my God, I hate my parents. Have you ever done that before?
Yep. I know exactly where you're coming from.
So it does happen. And, you know, my mom always told me, don't say hate. You know, hate, I don't know, man. Hate is just, it's just a bad word. I mean, you know, growing up, you know, I seen all kinds of hate. But, you know, as I started growing up, the hate just started getting like tons of it. I mean, there's just so much hate in this world today that you can almost cut it with a knife. That's how thick it is. Now, growing up, what was it like, you know, when you were hanging out with your buddies, was there a lot of hate around then? I mean,
yeah. And I have an interesting perspective on that too. I went to school in the Virginia, Maryland area when I was in second grade through probably about fifth grade. And that was the time when they decided the desegregation and busing became a big deal. I lived on Andrews Air Force Base and was bused off the base to a predominantly black school across town when I could have attended a school on the base, which that's actually my parents thought that would happen. Mm-hmm. I got to see a complete reversal of everything. It happened to be around the time that Roots had come out, the Alex Haley novel and the movie had come out, and there was a big upwelling of emotion during that time. And so being in a school where I was in a minority, I saw an opposite side, which taught me a lot about hate and taught me how not to hate, because I experienced it from a different angle. I got in a lot of trouble. I got in a lot of fights. I got stabbed with a pencil one time, got thrown in the mud, had a cinder block thrown on me, a bunch of stuff happened. I don't hold anybody responsible for that. It was just a time. And I was kind of the, I don't want to say invader, but I was the unwelcome guest at those schools. It was just very interesting. And so I had that experience and kind of modeled what I don't want to see in my life after that, and said, you know, I got to do better. I've got to be a better person as a result of this. And I think that's why I was put in that situation.
Man, good Lord. I don't think I've experienced stuff like that. I mean, I remember on the bus, me and some kids kicking each other in the not so nice areas. And yep. I remember back in the day, I went to a Christian school, and whenever somebody got into a fight, they didn't call the parents and this and that. They let the entire school out. The two people that started to fight, they go into the gym, they put on boxing gloves, and basically they duke it out till one person falls down. And of course, I was one of them, and the other kid actually practiced boxing. I guess that's what he did, like on the side. And yeah, he kind of knocked a snot right out of me. And, you know, it's just crazy. You know, and you hate stuff like that. And I remember growing up, like I said, I went to a Christian school, and my teacher, if you ever leaned back in your chair, he obviously must have hated kids. He would literally pull the chair backwards so you hit your head or whatever. And then I remember him taking his finger, sticking it on my ear and twisting it. And, you know, I told that's abuse right there, but to me, it's probably a hate crime too. And so I told my parents, and he told my parents, no, ma'am, no, sir. Your son is lying to you. I'm a Christian. I would never do anything like that to your son. And so my parents believed him. And then the next day, he grabs me and kind of throws me down on the stairs and grabs my ear and says, what does the Bible say about lying? And this, and I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. You know?
Yeah. So I always got picked on, man. I was kind of like I was bullied a lot, believe it or not. And sometimes you develop hate for your bullies.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to do that, and I think it comes out of a sense of protecting ourselves, and hate is an easy thing to fall into in that regard. You know, I can't say that I was the perfect person during those experiences that I had. You know, I said some things too, and, you know, so I think hate feeds hate, and it's an unfortunate thing. But like I said, I tried to take that even at an early time and try to make myself a better person of it and say, you know, I got to be better. I got to try to love more and be the opposite of that.
That's good. Now, let me tell you another hate. Yeah. And, and sometimes we do have to be the better person. I remember this kid used to pick on me, and he picked on me daily. And it seemed like nothing was getting done. So one day I was walking out to the playground area, and he called me a name or something. I don't remember. It's been like, gosh, 40 years ago. And I turned around, looked at him, and I did something. Let me see if I could find it. Something similar to this. Not in a girl's voice, but I ran toward him, and he had like one of those Honda belt buckles. And I literally just ripped it off his belt, and I was beating him in the head. Bam, bam, bam.
Whoa.
Until blood literally started pouring out of his head. And boy, they were pulling me off of him. And, you know, now if I did that today as a kid, they would probably have me arrested. Yep. I would be in juvenile detention. I'd be sued. My parents would be sued. But obviously nothing happened. I think I got detention, you know, because back then boys were boys. And, you know, today's boys are, I hate to say, a bunch of sissies. But anyway, but, you know, after I did that, because I hated him. I really hated this kid. He never did that again. Because he knew I meant business.
Yep. And that's the sad thing is you can't, you almost can't tell your kids to defend themselves nowadays and to do that kind of stuff. When sometimes it's not that you're promoting violence, but that's what the world wants to tell us. Like, oh, you can't tell your kid, you know, to go and stick up for himself because that's, you know, that's not a good thing. But the challenge is on the other side of that, we don't teach people the right ways to grow up basically and how to handle themselves. So if you don't stand up to a bully like you did, how are you going to stand up to somebody in a meeting room that, you know, does something to you at the job or something like that, you know? So I'm not promoting violence at all, but I had to defend myself in those situations, you know, where, you know, I was told I had slaves. I never had slaves. I don't even come from any families that had slaves, but because of that timing and everything with all the sensitivities, that's what they learned. That was their reality, you know? And so they came after me for that, you know, and I got in fights. Like I said, I got stabbed in the leg with a pencil and had it broken off of my leg. And it was a scary thing. But again, you know, I stood up for myself. and there were ways that I did this. One interesting thing, Jaws came out around the same time, and I have this fascination with sharks. And I was reading, for some reason, the weekly reader thing we used to get where you buy books, they had this shark attack book in there, and it had realistic accounts. I'm in like fourth grade, man, you know, and you could get this book, you know, and it told like graphic details of shark attacks. And so one day I'm sitting out there reading, and this one guy comes up, he starts to pick on me. He says, "What are you reading?" And I said, "A book about shark attacks." He's like, "What are you, some kind of freak?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "Whoa." And then they kind of gained a real, real respect for me. And I was like, "Well, this is odd, you know." But anyway, that is a little side story there. But still, it's just interesting, you know, it had to be a violent kind of thing for me to kind of get some credibility or something, you know, and try to, I don't know, and try to maneuver in that world, you know. And I remember my dad telling me, stick up for myself. But, you know, I'm like, "Dad, when I've got, you know, five guys, you know, holding me and they're punching me and stuff, it's hard to really stand up for yourself and do stuff, you know."
I know, right?
You know, but there's, you know, but there's hate in other places too. And you, I remember you mentioned earlier hate speech too. It floors me, you know, what is labeled hate speech nowadays. Now, are the things that are hateful that people say? Yes, it happens all the time. But some of the things, you speak truth and people don't want to hear it, and they label it hate speech. And that really confuses me. You know, you're not saying anything that isn't true, that something that you can't look up and find out the definition of or find out the facts about. But because you say it and somebody got their feelings hurt, it becomes hate speech.
Oh, exactly. You know? Exactly. That's definitely that's what happens. You know, now one thing I was going to ask you before I forget. Now, that number, that pencil that was stuck in your leg, was it a right? number two pencil?
I would imagine it probably was. It was a wooden.
I had to put that in there.
Right. You know, if you're not number one, you're number two, right?
That's there right. That's right.
So,
of the things I was also looking at, they have hate symbols, which is, they consider the Confederate battle flag a hate symbol, pornography a hate symbol, and the Nazi swastika a hate symbol. Yeah, I mean, I could see the Nazi swastika. You see that a lot nowadays, probably more so than back when I was younger. I'm sure it was there, but I never seen it. Pornography, I never heard that to be hate, but I guess it can be hate.
I guess so.
But that's what I looked up. And then the Confederate battle flag, I'm assuming they're talking about the thing that was on the Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, I look at it this way. Back in the day when I was younger, I used to see kids at church that used to wear a hat and had the Confederate battle flag. And so they lived in Florida, and I was from Delaware. I was the Union, and I used to tell them, "Why do you wear the flag of losers?" Like, but you know, it's like, then I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard with the battle flag. I don't let things bother me. Little things like that, even if I don't like it, it doesn't bother me. I mean, crap, we're supposed to be adults, and people just let too much bother them, and I just don't understand it. But that's beyond me.
Yeah, and another interesting perspective of mine on that. My high school, we were the Richland Rebels. And I went to Richland High School in North Richland Hills, Texas. Mm-hmm. And our flag was the Confederate flag. We flew that. We ran out to, well, I didn't play football, but our football players ran out with an American flag and a rebel flag. We had Johnny Reb was our mascot, and he was dressed in full Confederate garb. I even tried out to be the mascot one time. I did not make it, but I wanted to do that. Our dance corps, whatever you want to call them, the girls, they were the Dixie Belles. We
like the Dixie Chicks.
Correct. I was in a show choir. We were the Rebel Airs. Our song, our big song, was Dixie.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was the thing. And we never had any problems with that. Nobody did anything. There were tears when Dixie was sung, because that was like our school song. You know, it wasn't like our alma mater song, but that was our school song. And they've since changed that now. That's gone. So like all my past of my high school is gone. And I'm not even sure. I can't remember what they changed it to. now, but it's a whole different thing. They don't use a Confederate flag. They don't use any of that. And that's all part of that. But none of us had any problems with that. And we had all different races that went to the high school there, and nobody said anything about it.
Well, that's crazy. All right. So, another hate that I had back in the day, I had bitterness, a form of hate. I mean, to me, that's what it was, against a pastor, because of stuff that he did. And let me tell you, that hate right there basically ate me alive for 3 years until I finally had to ask for forgiveness. Now, people may not believe in God, and that's perfectly fine. That's entirely up to you. I'm not trying to convert you, but that was just my conviction. Have you ever had anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I would be a liar if I said that I didn't. And there's things that, that get inside you and eat you up like that. And they do. It is funny because you don't see it at the time, but they do tear you up. They bring you down. They consume you. They can affect your job and your relationships, everything. So it's not healthy to hold on to that and have bitterness like that, but I've done it. We've all done it.
Yes, we have. Now, another thing that I've seen lately is, people hate each other because, oh, you're Republican, you're Democrat, you're no party. I don't want to talk to you. Family members don't talk to each other because they may be half Republican or half Democrat, or I'm for Joe Biden, or I'm for Donald Trump. I'm going to kill you because you're for Trump or you're for Biden. I mean, people need to freaking grow up. And I said the word freaking,
I completely agree. And it's become, as I get older, it seems like it's gotten worse. People have had their differences about their candidates for years, and yes, that's never going to change, but it's become exponentially bad, and people threatening people. And you're right, families falling apart because you voted for this candidate or you didn't vote for that candidate or whatever it is. And I've experienced that in my family too. There's people that don't want to talk to me because of the way I've voted. And
really,
I think that's incredibly sad. It's a choice in this country. That's how this runs, and this is how we do this. And whether my choice is correct or incorrect, that shouldn't really bother you as much. That was my choice.
Yes.
There's administrations I haven't been happy with, and there's ones that I have been happy with, but I also have had good friends that, I'm not going to hate them because they voted for somebody I didn't like, So,
It's funny you said that, because I remember back in the day, somebody asked me if I voted for somebody, and I go, no. And she goes, well, you're racist. I said,
exactly.
I'm not racist because I decided not to vote for that person. Family members disowning family members because of who they voted for, dude, that's just freaking childish. People need to start growing up, start being adults. Everybody has a right to their opinion, whether it's right or not. That's the way I run. I mean, or roll, however they call it, me and you may disagree on something, but you know what? I'm not going to hate you for it, and hopefully you don't hate me for it. That's just the way things are. Like me and my dad, sometimes we do arguing a lot, but that's our MO. That's how we operate. We'll argue about something for 10 minutes, and then boom, right after that, hey, Dad, I love you. I'll give you a hug and kiss, and he'll do the same, and then it's over. But, people are killing each other. I read the other day, a father asked a son to move out, so he kills his dad.
Yeah.
You're 40 years old, get out of the house.
Correct.
Come on. So definitely he's getting out of the house now, going to jail. But, let's go ahead and storm the Capitol. Let's tear that up. Let's destroy our city because we're not happy with something. Oh, I'm going to go to Walmart tomorrow. Oh, wait, I can't because I helped destroy my city. Right. It's just the hate is just getting so bad. And I look at it this way. Like my dad always said, there's a devil loose, whether you believe in the devil or not. And he's trying to take out as many people as he can with the four-letter word, H-E-T-E. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think there's a devil loose in this country?
Oh, I completely believe that. I see so many things that are dark in this world, and I can't attribute it to anything else than that. I think Satan's alive and real and running around, and I think he knows his days are numbered. And I think it's only going to get worse from here. That can only explain what's going on. That's the only logical explanation to me.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, another thing that I've seen here lately, I was at my local gas pumps and I posted about this on my page, my Facebook page. And man, some people were ripping me a new one. Somebody wrote in Sharpie, FJB. And I'm sure you know what FJB means.
Yep.
Okay, so I look at it this way. I don't care if Joe Biden's in office, Donald Trump's in office. Why do we have to deface people's property? You know, it's not yours. If you want to write that on your house or whatever, hey, so be it. But writing on something like that on a gas pump where everybody can see it, to me, that's not a freedom of a speech. That's vandalism. And so they, one person said, well, you must be Democrat. I'm like, just because I don't like that,
right?
I wouldn't like it if they put FDT or FD Donald Trump on there. I don't care. I was raised to respect somebody's property regardless of what I thought of them or what they thought of me. And, you know, we used to have a guy down here not too far from where I live. He had a big old F Donald Trump right in his front yard. Like, dude, and then now you see the F Joe Biden flags. Come on. I mean, what kind of society have we gone to that we have to use slurs about different presidents? I was taught to respect the office regardless of who is in office.
Correct.
And as a Christian, we're supposed to pray for them regardless of what we think of them. And I don't know, man, it's just sometimes it bothers me when I see that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that too. It is bothersome. And again, we've seen some things written about folks in the past, but it seems like it's gotten worse where we're allowing this, or it's this kind of nature that we have now that it's acceptable to do that, you know. And I've seen other things too that, you know, in art and stuff like that too, where people do stuff that is very, you know, quote unquote controversial, but yes, it's very hateful, you know. And to me, that's not art. It you know, yeah, art should spoke an emotion or spark an emotion, but you shouldn't have to resort to stuff like that to do it. I mean, I can look at an amazing painting and get emotional or something by Vincent van Gogh because of his talent, but I don't think I would have been a fan of his if he had wrote F somebody and that was his painting. But nowadays,
I know, right?
That is art, you know, and that's what we're being told. But I think, again, we go back to the devil running around and things are getting worse. And we, you know, we're being allowed to see all this stuff and it's manifesting more and more at an accelerated rate. And it's just crazy, just crazy.
It is. And, you know, I've seen some of these paintings that these artists have done. And I'm like, man, I could do that. I could get a canvas and take a brush and dip some paint and just splatter it and boom, yep, give me $10,000 and you can have it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. And there's somebody out there that I won't say their name, but recently sold some paintings and they weren't very good, but because of who they were, they made some money. They may have been somebody that was involved with somebody politically, but that's okay. I will stop there. But anyway, art is subjective, right? I mean, yeah. And again, you know, I don't know what kind of labor they put into their art, but you're right. There's some, I remember seeing an art collection. I can't remember who it was, but there was some historic home that I went to up in New York and maybe the Rockefellers, maybe, I can't remember now. And being in the basement, and my aunt was one of the tour guides, and this art was, there was a piece of wood with a nail in it. And this was supposedly some incredibly expensive piece of art. And I'm like, I do that all the time on my job. I'm a carpenter. Like, you know, am I an artist? But because of somebody else nailed that nail into that piece of wood, that was, you know, worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know,
man, you better start cutting some pieces of wood up and nailing it.
I've got scrap wood in the garage. I've got old nails. We could, you know, come on, Jose, we could start our own art, you know, we have our own gallery, you know,
we could call it woody art.
Yeah, there you go. Or something. Yeah. So, or nailed, wow, you know,
nailed art. Yeah. It seems like, good is now bad. And
yes,
bad is now good. And, honestly, to me, and this is just my opinion, people can agree, you can agree or disagree, I don't think it's going to get any better. Honestly, I don't. It's just going to get worse.
Excuse my cat. There's my cat just decided to walk across. She usually makes an appearance during Zoom meetings. So anyway, her name is Guava. Anyway,
no, that's cool.
And she's going to come back. Here we go. And that'll probably be the it for her. For her tonight.
This will be good on the video when I show the video.
There you go. But anyway, so now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, thanks, Kat.
What were we talking about? I forgot.
You were talking about good becoming bad and bad becoming good. We'd be told.
Oh, it will never. It's never going to get any better. There you go.
Right. There we go. So yeah, and again, I'll refer to the Bible because I fall back on that a lot. You know, we're told that that's going to happen in the end times. So are we at the end times? Are we? You know, is the return of Christ imminent right now? I don't know because I'm not supposed to know that. But it's just interesting that we're at a time where we're being told these things. You know, something that I grew up knowing was wrong or incorrect or not good, and we're being told, "Give it a pass. It's fine. It's good. You're good to go." You know, and then other things. Yeah. You know, like how horrible is it that you know the things that are happening to Christianity in the world and how. We're being told how bad it is. You know, are there some bad eggs out there? Are there some things that have happened in Christianity? Yes, but it's happening everywhere. And I think that's just evident of the world being bad in general. And we're also warned of false teachers. You know, I mean, I could go on about this for hours, but that's, you're exactly right. It's going to get worse. It's just going to continue to snowball, you know?
I mean, you're not even safe in your church. People are coming in there and just mowing people over with guns, and and it's crazy. But now, when I talk about end times, this is my thing about end times. It's kind of scary to me, but I mean, that's what's going to have to happen. So, all right, folks, we're going to go ahead and shut down this episode. But I want to thank Joe for being on, Joe Fitzpatrick. And if you have any social media you would like to share, you can go ahead and do it at this time.
I'm on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. I also have an Instagram that I haven't updated in quite a while, but that's the extent of my social media. I've been kind of a social media coward for years. So Facebook is really new to me, mostly since I became an actor to try to use that as a tool. But that's about it. I also have a website out there. I am a national anthem singer or performer. It's www.isingtheanthem.com. It's simple to remember, but if you want to go out there and hear me sing and or find out where I'm singing upcoming, it would be awesome to have you visit.
Cool. And thank you for that. And if anybody would like to get a hold of me, The Jose Show, Jose Roldan, you can go to Facebook, do a search for The Jose Show. I have a page and a group. And on Instagram, I am The Jose Roldan. That's THEJOSERoldan. And on Twitter, I am at Jose Roldan Jr. That's at JOSEROLDAN Jr. And tonight, my special co-host was Joe Fitzpatrick. Make sure you share this episode with your friends, families, and your enemies, because guess what? They may like this episode and no longer become your enemies.
Don't have them hate you.
Your enemies. I know. Don't have them hate you.
Exactly.
Take care. Have a good evening, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.